Thank you very much. I've been thinking as the guys were sharing there, and it's been a family weekend for us, and I did the wedding for my niece yesterday in Newcastle, and all of our mob were there, all the extended family and so on, and I just was thinking this morning about how the kingdom of God is built in families, that people raise generations to serve God, and how that's just an amazing power in the purpose of God. And I think about our church, and I think about the families that are in our church who are raising generations that are going to be building and continuing to build, and how that really flies against the sort of transient nature of our community, that we have a group of people who say we're committed together to build something for the glory of God. And it's just wonderful to see. Firstly, it's wonderful to see that generationally come through in the life of the church. But the other thing that's wonderful to see, and I wonder if, look, he's half naked over there. I wonder if, can you bring that little bloke up here for a minute, Zach? Is that going to work? There's a nudist in church life. Look at that. But you know, one of the things that always, always excites me is when you see a young man like this who comes, I know he's believing for his family, but who has started a new generation. And it says, I don't have a lot of heritage there, but I found the Lord, and now I'm building a new generation to serve God. And that stirs my heart as well. Give them a good hand. That's fantastic. So whether someone comes from a long line of heritage of serving God, or whether someone says, I'm the beginning of a heritage of serving God, that's what builds the church. That's what builds the church. And God says, I will take the isolated and I will put them in families. Because, you know, those who are maybe on their own, but they join a life group and they say, this is my family. This is where I belong. I'm going to support these people. I'm going to encourage these people. I'm going to get alongside these people. They're building the kingdom of God. That's the spirit, that's the heart that builds the kingdom of God. And there are people right across our church and across churches, and that's what they're doing. They're committing themselves, as Heather was talking about, they're sown into the kingdom of God to build the kingdom of God. And every time I see that, it just stirs my heart. It's a wonderful thing to see someone who's committed to building the kingdom of God. Amen? It is Vision Week. We've got an amazing year ahead of us. God has completely led us into what will be an astonishing year. We are committed to sending three teams, as Heather said, overseas. You know that the core of our vision is always the same. Jesus said, make disciples of the nations. He said in Matthew's gospel, he said, go and teach the nations. In Mark's gospel, he said, make disciples of the nations. In the book of Acts, he says, wait here to receive the Holy Spirit, and then you go and be my witnesses. Where? Right here and around the nations. We know what our calling is. We are on a mission. Amen? Every one of us, as a church, we're not here to play church. We're not here to do anything else. We are here to fulfill the mission and the call of Jesus to make disciples. That's what we're here for. We have our life groups, and every life group has a mission. The life group mission is that we help each one become closer to God, and that together we reach people with the gospel and help them to become disciples. That's what we're here for. If you're here for any other reason, then give yourself a shake and realize that you're here for the wrong reason. We're here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to make disciples, that we come closer to God and that we help others to come closer to God. I love on our little mission vision board thing there, people have already written, I want to see someone come to know the Lord. I want to disciple somebody this year. I don't think there's any greater vision that you can have for your life for this year than that someone you know and love would come to know God and have their life released into the purpose and calling of God, that they would come alive to the reality of life, that the real thing in life is to serve God, find his purpose, and get after it with all your heart. That's what life's really all about. And everything else is a distant second. Everything else. Jesus was just, that's what he said to people. He said, look, if you would just give up all the rest of the stuff and set your heart about building the kingdom of God, everything else will come your way. Everything else will come along. But if you focus on trying to get all the everything else, then you'll just miss the whole point. Amen? Yeah. Open our hearts to it. That's not what I'm speaking about today, but it's all good. Joshua, come there quickly. Joshua chapter 1. Before we get there, have you got that little picture up there of the facilities? Of course. There it is, the skate ramp's back. And, of course, what we're aiming at this year, is that we will be moving. We will be moving into a new facility, whether it's this year or early next year, but we will be doing it. And right now, we've engaged agents and we're selling the Verica Street property. And I looked this morning at the building fund pledges that people have put in. I've been praying over those, as all of us have been committing to say, God's going to do a work in our hearts and lives. We've got some resource. We've got some finance. We need more of it. And it's just a great challenge for us to engage in this year. Isn't that exciting? This year. And so we're going to be into that this year. That's going to be a big challenge for us. And so I just want to make sure that we have the context that we're here to make disciples. We're here to help people come to know God, and that the facilities that we're going for is all about that. That's what it's all about. Every time we have made a move on facilities, and we've done this over 19 years, every time we've made a move, it's released new ministry, new opportunity, and more people have come to know God every time. And people say, well, it's just about bricks and mortar, and they miss the point that it's actually about releasing ministry. It's actually about releasing people to do what they're called to do. And of course, this is incredibly significant for us in terms of the generations. The scripture just says very simply that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And I don't know about anybody else. In fact, I do know about some. But I know for me, I want to make sure that as a church, not only do we do what we're called to do, but that we leave an inheritance for our children's children. That we make sure that our church is not just for one group of people to have their own needs met, but we have a generational view that says our kids and our kids' kids are going to be able to have a place and a platform to build for the kingdom of God. That's what I'm about. I want to make sure that we have a place where the generations can find God. And that's what this is part of. So you need to get that into your heart, get it sorted out. But I want to share with you out of Joshua chapter 1 today. The theme of the next couple of weeks we've chosen is more than conquerors, that we are more than conquerors. The scripture, of course, says that we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And we are more than conquerors. And I, as I was praying about that, I really felt led to this particular passage and to these particular people who had to learn and did learn to become more than conquerors. And it really meant something very specific for them. And if you are wanting to learn to be more than an overcomer, what I'm talking about today is people who don't just overcome in their own life, but they have such strength that they're able to actually bless others, that they're actually able to help other people find their way in the kingdom of God, whether that be someone who doesn't know God yet or whether that is someone who's just struggling. But that person builds such a strength in their life that not only do they achieve what God's got for them, but they actually help somebody else to do the same thing. And if you want that, and I hope that you want that, I hope you're not sitting here today thinking, I just want my needs met. I hope you're not just sitting there today thinking it's only about me, it's only yourself. I hope you're not, because that's not a very godly attitude. I hope that you're sitting there thinking, not only do I want to have the strength of God for my own life, but I want to make sure that I can grab a hold of somebody else and drag them with me, whether it's up or down or sideways, but I want to take some people with me on this journey. I hope that's in your heart. I hope in your heart that you go to your life group and it's not just about them praying for your need, but you come there like the scripture says, and you come ready with a blessing. You come ready with a psalm and a hymn and a spiritual song. You come with your heart full so that you can bring a blessing to somebody else. I hope that's where we're coming from today. Amen. Because these guys were like that. And if you listen today and you do what these guys did, I believe that you can do exactly the same thing. Have a look at Joshua 1, verse 12. I think these guys are rapidly becoming some of my favorite people in the Bible. There's not much about them in the scriptures, but there's just something wonderful about the way they go about life. The context of this, we're talking about the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. three of the tribes of Israel, who actually, when they came to the promised land, so you remember the story, lost in Egypt, slaves, all that, and then they got delivered, Moses, Ten Commandments, all those movies, all that stuff, you remember all that, and they came to the promised land, and these three tribes found land on the eastern side of the Jordan. Okay, they found their land, and they won battles, and they took the land. These people had already claimed the promise of God for their lives. They were established. They had their families established. They had their cities established. They had claimed the ground that God had for them. They stood on it. They fought for it. They won the battle for it. And they had possession of it. You get the picture? These three tribes, they had what God had promised them. It wasn't to come. They weren't waiting for it. They already had it. They already had it. It was in their hands. They had already overcome. They had already conquered. So what were they now? More than conquerors. Exactly right. And so they had already conquered. They'd already claimed the ground. I tell you what, one of the great things in the Christian life is when you've already got a hold of God, when you already have faith, when you've conquered some ground and you can help somebody else do the same. Oh, then you start living. Up to that point, you're just struggling. You're in struggle city. There's all sorts of stuff going on in your life. And, you know, life never changes. There's always struggles. There's always stuff. But when you become a conqueror, when you become someone who knows how to win some battles, then you can help somebody else to win a battle. Amen? That's what these guys are like. Let's have a look at the scripture. It's wonderful. Verse 12, "But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land.'" You've got it. "Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise." Then they answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against you, your word, and does not obey your word, whatever you may command them, we will put to death. Only be strong and courageous." There's something about these guys that it just appeals to me. There's something about the wonderful, aggressive faith that these guys say, "We've already got our land, and whatever you tell us to do, wherever you tell us to go, we're going, and no one's going to stand in our way, and nothing's going to stop us. And if anybody gets in the way, we're just going to deal with them along the way." There is something powerful about these men who know how to claim ground and to win victories and to conquer. I just like it. Does anybody else like it? I like it. I don't know, in our soft, comfortable, wimpy sort of world, I just like these guys who have this incredible faith and strength. These are strong men. They're not wimpy, weak, soft-bellied little twits. That's not who they are. They're strong men. They're men of power, men of vision, men of faith. And men of submission and obedience. You know, they're strong men who know how to be part of a group and how to build together. These are great guys. And they're more than conquerors. They've already got what they had believed for from God, but they've said, "That's not enough. No, we're going with you to get the rest." And as I read this and meditated on it, there was a few things that you can do if you want to become this kind of person. I believe this is how we all ought to live. And if we're going to do what God's called us to do this year, which we will, then we're going to have to be like this. We can't just live a normal sort of life. We're going to have to rise above that. Amen? The first, verse 13 to 15, he says, he reminds them of what they need to do. And in verse 14, he says that the wives and the others can stay behind. But he says, "You, all your fighting men, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You're to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest." The thing that I got out of this was that you need to go beyond the norm. You need to go beyond what's normal or average or even what's normally expected. If you want to be more than a conqueror, you've got to make a decision. I am going to live beyond what everybody else does. You understand? Everybody else is thinking, if I can get my family together, and if I can get my house together, and if I can get my life and get a bit of work and build my life, then I'm doing well. How would we define someone who's successful in life? Surely it would be somebody who achieves their own level of success, of finance and whatever relationship, whatever else is on that measure, but it's achieved for themselves. They're a self-made person. They've made it in life. Well, whoop-de-doo. I don't believe that is the measure of success for those who love God and love the kingdom of God. I believe the measure of success goes way beyond that, and it begins when I begin to release somebody else into what God has got for them. Is anybody awake today? Do you believe this stuff, or is it news to you? Come on. That's where life begins, when I begin to make a difference for somebody else. Surely that's the message of Christ. Surely that's the whole point of what we're about, is that I make a difference for somebody else. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about just my thing. But now I'm engaging, I'm saying, there is something beyond me. There's someone out there who needs something. There are people in my community who need the witness. You know, when we build a facility, why are we doing it? Well, we put a stake in the ground. We say to the people of our community, we're here to stay. We're not just in a warehouse that we're renting and showing up, you know, and all that. We're here to stay. We're here to bless. We're here to serve. We're here to make a difference. That's what we're saying. We're saying we're not just here for 19 or 20 years, but we're here for 100 years. We're here for not just one generation, but we're here for 5 or 6 generations. That if Jesus doesn't come back, we're here to win this city. That's what we're saying. And we're not the only ones. We say the same thing with every other church that does that. It's so important to put that stake in the ground and to say, we are here for keeps. We're here for keeps. Go beyond yourself. Go beyond my own need. Go beyond the norm, the average, the expected. That's what these guys did. And they said, you betcha, we're willing to go beyond the norm. But it wasn't just go there. But he said, what did he say? You notice the verse? He said, go ahead of your brothers. These guys were called to lead the way, beyond the norm. And I tell you now, many of you are called to lead the way. You're called to lead the way. Do you think that our church of a couple of hundred people, is that what God is satisfied with in a city of 250,000 people? Do you think God's happy? There might be 100 churches or so in Wollongong. There may be around about 15-20% of the population that goes to church from time to time. Do you think God's happy with 1 in 5 or 1 in 10 who know Him? I don't. I don't think God's particularly happy. He's happy with us. He's pretty happy that you're here. He's pretty happy that we're on board. But I really believe that God is saying to us, you lead the way. You lead the way. God's found you. God's forgiven you. God's plucked you out of wherever you were. And He's put you on strength and on the rock. And He said, I've sorted your life out. Now it's time for you to lead somebody else. Lead somebody else. Reach out to someone. How long do you have to be a Christian before you can reach out to someone who doesn't know God? I reckon about 5 minutes. You know what I reckon? I reckon the longer you're a Christian, the harder it probably gets. Because, you know, you start thinking, do I know enough? There's nothing like somebody who doesn't know anything and just has a go. That's just wonderful, because they don't know what they don't know. You understand? They haven't yet figured out, I don't know anything. I'm not sure I'm smart enough or strong enough or big enough. I'm just going to have a go. And I reckon there should be more of that happening in the kingdom of God. People just having a go. They don't even know that they don't know enough. Oh, give us heaps of those people. They're fantastic. Just going to get out there and have a rip. I think we should stay like that and say, God, I don't know everything. I don't know enough, but I'm just going to have a go with what God's given me. Amen? Yeah. They were called to go beyond the normal, to lead the way. Jesus in John 14, verse 12, he said to his disciples, he said, you'll do greater things than what I've done. I believe this is what he meant. That there'll be opportunities in your life to do greater things, to lead more people to know him, to see miracles and provisions and blessings. You'll do greater things than what you've seen done so far. Can I just say to some of you, you will see greater things in your life this year than you've seen before. If you'll open your heart to it, if you'll open your expectation and your faith, then you will see greater things this year than you've seen before. If you close off and close down and say, oh, that's for the person next to me, then you won't see it. And that'd be sad. But if you open your heart and you say, God, you've got something for me, I can be one of the people who lead the way. I can be. I don't need a title. I don't need a position. I don't need someone's recognition. I just need to get on with it. And I can lead the way. I can lead the way in my life group. I can lead the way in that ministry team. I can lead the way in the financial provision. Whatever it is, I can lead the way. I don't need to wait for anybody to tell me anything or do anything. I just need to get on with it. I just need to get going. I need to show up at life group with a bit of vivor and a bit of strength. A bit of something to give and something to bring. I just need to come with an attitude of faith. I need to drive my car and on the way have the worship music playing so that my heart and my spirit is in tune with God, so that when I walk into that place, I bring something of the presence of God. Why are you not doing that if you're not? Why? That's what the leaders do. That's what the people who bring a spirit of faith do. They come with themselves ready and prayed up and ready to go. Our worship leaders who lead us on a Sunday morning, do you think they just sort of roll out of bed and show up and, oh, yeah, what do you reckon we ought to do today, guys? No. They have the songs chosen beforehand, and those who are actually leading the service, some of them very nervously, they have it in their heart and they're seeking God and they're saying, God, I need you to be with me today. You should be with them in the prayer times. You should be with them in their preparation time. They don't just show up out of the blue hoping something will happen. No, they come with their heart ready. Why don't we do the same? They're no different to us. Exactly the same. The life group leader comes and they've thought, what questions are we going to have tonight? What are we going to do? How are we going to engage with God's presence and spirit? How are we going to make sure that we're on focus for the mission that God? Well, what's stopping you from doing the same thing? Nothing. You can lead the way. You can lead the way. These guys did. There's no way I'm getting through this today, but it's all good. Number two. You ready? Number two, verse 15, about halfway through there somewhere, there was just a little word that stood out to me. He said, all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. Fully armed, fully armed. That just sort of rang out to me really strongly about how we can move forward and be more than conquerors. I just began to see a picture of God's people really fully capable and armed with his strength and his ability. And you know what? If you're not, then you become vulnerable. I watched this last week. I think it's the last week. I like war movies. I like old-time war movies, all that sort of stuff. I watched, you know how there was the 300 movie? Who knows the 300 movie? All right. Well, you know that there was an original one. You know, I can't remember the name of it now. It's got 300 in it. But it was the original earlier movie, huh? I think it is just the 300 Spartans. Look it up, you can find it. But I watched this movie. It was a good movie. Good old sort of Hollywood type movie, good old time sort of thing. And I'm watching this thing. And every time I watch that, I'm really quite taken with how horrible it would be to be part of that kind of stuff. But the heroics and stuff is all good, you know. And I watched these guys and they got their big shield. I looked up all this. I was in research this week. I was looking up all the armor and how they worked and how they worked together and what sort of armor they would have had. And what does he mean by fully armed? Because for us, we sort of spiritualize it all. But for these guys, they actually had to have armor and they had to fight against people. It was real. And so they had this arm, they had the shields, and they would form these things they call a phalanx, which was a group of men together who would actually cover each other. And the guy, the Greeks in that particular battle, they had a particular technique where their shield would cover the guy next to them, and the guy next to them would cover them, and they'd put their spears through the gaps. And so they would actually stand together, fully armed, ready to fight against the opposition. And the reason I like it, and I think the image is here from Scripture, is it's not an individual thing. In the Hollywood picture, we see the great warrior. You know, it's always individualized, and it comes down to this one guy, and he's the great hero, and all that. You know, the reality is that's not how battles are won. And if one guy goes into battle against a mob, what happens? He gets killed. That's how it works. But here these guys are, all of them, fully armed. Now, if one of those guys drops his shield, what happens? Someone dies, and there's a breakthrough in the ranks. And unless someone else comes in and fills it, you get beaten. You know, I looked up that one time the shoes, because, of course, those who you are spiritually going to Ephesians chapter 6 already, and you're thinking about the armor of God. And the armor of God says that their feet are shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And I looked up what sort of shoes they had. Because just like us, you know, you've got to have a different pair of shoes for everything that you do. How many know that? You've got to have a different pair of shoes for this and shoes for that, shoes for the other. If you're going out for a day and you're going to do two different things, you've got to take two different pairs of shoes, haven't you? And so you've got different shoes and everything. And these guys, they didn't have all those, but they did have a different pair of shoes for battle. And their sandals they had for battle, they had these little nails in the bottom of them so that they could take their stand. Now, if there's a whole bunch of guys with their shield and their spear and their sword and they've got their armor on and their breastplate and all that, and they've all got their hobnailed shoes taking a stand, and somebody didn't get the email and they show up with their sand shoes on next door, then what happens? He gets, he slides. Joe, you're on the money today. And they slide, and guess what? The rank is broken. Why? Because they're not fully armed. Not fully armed. Not ready. Someone needs to get this today. If you want to be more than a conqueror, then you need to be fully armed. You need to not be half armed. I feel like saying something else there. But don't be half armed. That's a good one. I like that. If you're half-armed, we're in trouble. I really believe it. If you're halfway there, then you're in trouble and we're in trouble. The Scripture in Ephesians 6 talks about being fully armed. It talks about, there's really three aspects to that Scripture if you look at the passage later on. It talks about aspects of faith, aspects of the Word of God, and aspects of the intent of the heart. That's what it talks about. And it talks about a shield of faith and a helmet of salvation, which is faith in Christ. So there's faith in Christ, which is the helmet of salvation, and there's a shield of faith, which is belief in the promise of God. Faith is what defends you from the attack of the enemy. And the breastplate of righteousness is also a weapon of faith, belief in God's purity that comes into your life, your righteousness. So there's faith. And there's the Word of God. The belt of truth is belief in the Word of God. The sword is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what's it saying? It's saying that you need to have the Word of God. You need to have the Word of God binding your life together. You need to have the Word of God in your hand, ready to fight the battle. Are you filling your life with the Word of God? If you're not, then you're what? Half-armed. You're not fully armed. Why do we go on about it so much? To read the Word of God every day, get it in your heart, get it in your life, know the Word of God, because you're not fully armed without it. And when it comes to the battle, you will be the one who falls over and others will have to try to make up for the loss. It's so important that we get this as a group of people. That we fight for each other. That we're fully armed, not just for ourselves, but for each other. That we stand, not just for our own selves, but we stand for each other. The Word of God, faith. And then the Scripture says, the readiness of the gospel of peace. What is the intent of your life? Let's just imagine, if you will, for a moment, a group of soldiers all lined up, and they have all the armor on. They've got their shield, they've got their faith in the Word is filling their hearts. They're ready to go. And they've all got themselves set in one direction. And along comes a Wally. And Wally hasn't got a clue. He's got his armor on, he's got all his, he's all the rest of it, but he doesn't know where he's going. He's not sure if he wants to commit to the battle or if he wants to run and hide somewhere. He's not sure if he wants to really give himself to the fight or is he just a bit hesitant and moving back. Where's the intent of the heart? And I tell you now, when you have somebody who doesn't have the intent, then you're weak. And I just want to challenge us today. Let's be fully armed. Let's be people who have the word in us. Let's be people who are generating faith. Let's be people who have the one intent to see the kingdom of God go forward. Amen? Yeah. Romans chapter 12. I wonder if it's coming up. Romans chapter 12. Have a quick look at that. One of the things that I find so encouraging about the word of God is that we don't just do that for ourselves, but we do that for each other. Romans chapter 12 verse 9 says, love must be sincere. Genuine. Love's got to be genuine. It's got to be real. It says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. All of that is designed so that you will be a blessing to the people sitting around you right now. It says, keep your spiritual fervor. Keep strong in God. Keep yourself on the right attitude, the right direction. Why do you do that? It's a blessing to you for sure, but that's not the primary reason. The primary reason is that your love for your brother would be sincere. That you'll be able to stand with your brother and lift your brother up and walk with your brother and go into battle with your brother and do something great and have a great achievement with your brother, that you'll become more than conquerors together. Amen? Two more, let me give them to you quickly out of the scripture. In number verse 16 and 17, they said, whatever and wherever, whatever and wherever, engage wholeheartedly in what God has called us to do. Amen? Engage wholeheartedly. Give it all. The thing I notice about these guys is it wasn't an obligation. He reminded them of what Moses had told them to do, but there is no sense here that these guys, this is some obligation for them. They said, yeah, we know. We know we've got a command. We know what we've got to do, and whatever you tell us to do and wherever you take us, that's where we're going. There's no sense of drawing back. There's no sense of, oh yeah, we've got to do this. Oh, I can't be really be bothered. There's no sense of that. The sense is, let's get on with it. And I like that about these guys. Whatever and wherever. I believe if we want to become a people who are more than conquerors, we've got to be people of the whatever and the wherever. Whatever and wherever. Let's go. Let's stop questioning it. Let's stop worrying about it. Let's stop second guessing it and double thinking it. Let's say whatever and wherever. Let's go. Amen? Last one, verse 15 and the second half of it. I know I'm jumping around that scripture all over the place, but just how it came to me. And he says to them, if I can find it myself, he says, after that, you may go back and occupy your own land. The last thing that if you want to be more than a conqueror, it's really not something you have to do, but it's something that's going to happen, is you will receive the full blessing of God. You will receive the full blessing of God for your life. If you will make your life about serving other people, extending the kingdom of God, pursuing the purpose of God, then God's promise for you is that you will go back and occupy your own land. Fully occupy it. The blessing of God is there for you. Jesus put it another way. He said to his disciples in Mark chapter 10, verse 29, he says, anyone who has given up houses or family or income or anything else for my sake and the gospel will receive 100-fold in return and eternal life. Understand something. When you set your heart to serve the purpose of God, then God sets his heart to build your life. That's how it works. Amen? We've got a fantastic year ahead of us. We've got great challenges and great vision. We just want to see God act in an amazing way. And my invitation to you right now is to set your heart for the purpose of God for our church. As Heather shared before, God is knitting together a group of people for his purpose. There is no accident about people belonging in a church together. It's lots of churches in Wollongong, and most of them are wonderful. Probably all of them in some way, but most are great. And there are great churches right across our city. I know many of our pastors well, and they're wonderful people, and they have wonderful churches. And it's, you know, it's not about picking and choosing, as I like this or I like that or I like that. That's not what it's about. It's about God planting people together. That's what the scripture says. It says, I have planted you. I've taken you and I've planted you in a body. I've made you part of that body. And together, you have a calling and a purpose. And together, we have a calling and a purpose. And God is going to do great work among us this year. Amen? We're going to see people come to know Him. Your friends, your family, the people you're believing for, we're going to see them come to know God. We're going to move into these new facilities. It may be that we just simply get the land and we break the land and we're able to actually have some... It'll be fun. Who's looking forward to the day where we have a maybe camp out on the land? I mean, I don't know. But I know it's going to happen. There's going to be something. Something's going to go on. There's going to be a process here. But I tell you, what's in my heart is that we will begin to possess that this year. I don't know if we'll have the whole thing done this year, but we'll begin to possess that this year. In our hearts, in our minds, we have already possessed it. It's already there. We're going to begin to walk into that this year. We're going to be on the land. We're going to be tearing down buildings. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't think we're going to have the whole thing finished this year. I think next year will be the year that we actually fully move in. But this year, we're going to break the ground. That's what's in my heart. Amen? God is at work among us. But it takes people who know how to stand together, how to be fully armed, how to go beyond the norm, and to do something significant. I don't understand why people run away from a church that's in a building program. I don't understand that. It actually is a reality of church life, that some people hear about a building program, they go, oh, I'm going to go to another church. I just went through three things I shouldn't say about people like that, and so I won't say them. But I don't understand it, because surely that is one of the great opportunities of church life. You know, there are a few great opportunities in church life. One is to plant a new church. That's a fantastic opportunity. Can you imagine being part of a group of people who plant a new church? I said to Doug sitting over there, who came and joined us to help us plant this church, I said, no one will ever take that away from you. As you've come and you've built this church, no one can ever take that away. That together we've planted a church. That's awesome. That's a great opportunity in church life. A great opportunity in church life is when someone comes to know God and you get the opportunity to disciple that person. No one can take that away from you. That person is discipled by you. How awesome is that? Hopefully they've got all your good bits and not many of your bad bits. Amen? But that person has been discipled by you. You know, I believe one of the great opportunities in church life is when it comes to putting a stake in the ground and saying, this is our land. And this generation of this church is going to do that. And no one can take it away. Amen? Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just give you thanks and praise for the calling that we have as a group of people. And we thank you, Lord God, that it's not just about bricks and mortar. And, oh, Father, we're just so thankful that it's about people. That's about people who need to know you right here in our city. People at our workplaces, people in our family and in our extended family, people that we know in the community, that's what you're about. I thank you today that as we look across the room, there are people here today who have come into relationship with you because you built a church in this place for your glory and for your honor. And we thank you, Father God, that you're looking ahead now over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and you're seeing the people that are going to come because a group of people took a stand for you and said, we are going to build something for the glory of God. It's so much not about bricks and mortar. So much about the people that are going to be impacted because there's a group of your people who stand together for your glory. And so, Father, that's our heart today. We want to stand together for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Open your heart. Get ready for that right now. Put aside the doubts. Shake off the uncertainty. Because we are going to make a declaration to God together. Father, I thank you for every person in our church. Everyone here and those who couldn't be here today, I thank you for every person. Those who come at night, those who come midweek, those who come to life groups, every person that's a part of our church, I thank you for everyone. Everyone is so incredibly important to you and to us. And Father, today, in this moment, we simply want to take a stand together and to say, God, we are about your purpose. We recognize you're leading us. You're leading us in this building thing. You're leading us in our mission program. You're leading us in the mission we have right here to reach people. And we want to take a stand together. Right now, we want to put aside any of the offenses that we've had, any of the uncertainties that have been rolling around. We just have had enough of that. And Lord, we just set our hearts for you and for each other. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm so excited by this.